Hi, this is Steve O'Mooney from Socially Awkward, Arcade Bros, and The Idiot Section. You're listening to another great show on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. For more great shows, check out www.foureyedradio.com.
Hey, diddly ho, it's Aaron from the Underground Railroad. Just wanted to introduce you guys to America Joy Print Shop, the official sponsor of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Business cards, flyers, posters, banners, cut vinyl, car wraps, and more. Visit AmericaJoy.com for more information and let them know that the Fern sent you. Or I will kill your firstborn child. Not really. I'll send you cupcakes if you do. Bye!
Howdy, howdy to all my little otter pups out there in podcast world. We have a lovely guest this evening, which happens to be my apuka, my Hungarian refugee apuka, who is banging on the equipment. Dad?
Would I be hearing you? Or?
Yeah, you should be. Can you hear me?
Okay. Well, I can't say all the things that you just said. I'm sure they were all good, but
always very good.
It's just very important.
But, brilliance and elegance that comes out of the
The list you gave me is well. Let's see. We've been here already 10 minutes. So, but I'm looking at least 492 hours here. And I'm sure you don't want me to
put the short version.
I can't hear you.
On you can't. Uh oh. That's kind of important.
That's better.
In order for us to have the show.
Better.
How about now?
So I just guess that we're gonna have to keep this kind of short.
Well, yes,
we'll see how far we get and just. Kind
so,
of
Dad,
yeah, and you're right. We can continue it again.
Give us your full name.
My real name, right?
Your real name.
My name is Andy.
No.
Your real name.
András Zahorán. Is that the name you preferred?
That's the name we were looking for. Thank you. And so can you... Can you give us a little rundown of how you got here? I mean, I'm sure everyone can notice by now that you're not from this planet. I mean, this
country.
State, this country.
Well, I can give it a kind of a start. And just like Aaron says, if we don't get far enough, we can do this again or
always, whatever.
But being from Budapest, Hungary is very interesting situation, especially in the days that I was anticipating on coming, because it's really, really amazing. My younger brother had tried to escape 3 times to get out from the Iron Curtain countries. And I've always said, of course, first just jokingly, but I always said, listen, don't keep trying this, because the only time you'll ever be able to go when you go with me. Lo and behold, that's exactly how it happened.
So
I was only teasing him and joking with him, but he came out when I came out
of the closet. No, I'm just kidding. Well, no, let's kind of like set the picture here of how this all. So you were born March 8th, 19. 37.
Yeah, that's
in Budapest, Hungary.
Budapest, Hungary.
And what was going on at that around that point?
Well, of course, in 1937, when I was born, I didn't really know too much about the situation.
That's true.
But being from that area at that time, I think that the Hungarian people and almost the whole world thought that they actually associated U.S. of America to, you might say, heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess I was always a little bit different because I naturally I've heard a lot about America and I certainly associated it with something golden and silver and something just out of the ordinary, which it was, especially in those days. So, but nevertheless, I still really didn't want to necessarily come to America. And I told my dad, I said, "Dad, you know, forget it. I don't want to go to America." And he said, "Shut up and keep swimming."
No wonder you're so buff.
So here I am.
But, I mean, right, I know that, I don't know, what's your earliest childhood memory? As far as living in Hungary, and I know that there was a revolution going on, and Hungary was very poor, and I know you lived in, and you had 8 or 13 brothers and sisters?
It's an extremely good question, and I appreciate that, but the earliest that I can remember is I was just so sorry for my mom and dad, because I know how we are with children, and I know that they were no different. And I remember getting out of the house probably kind of an ungodly hour, like about 3-4 in the morning. Heaven only knows why, but probably because of the noise, because when I went outside and I looked up in the air, I saw this humongous airplane.
Oh.
It must have been a bomber. I mean, not knowing, but
probably.
I'm sorry, what?
the C-1, I think they're C-180s, those old fighter planes, or I don't know. I believe that's what they were called, but
yeah.
I could be wrong.
Anyway, that's at that time I was probably only about 3-4 years old.
And awake at 3 in the morning, going outside, looking at airplanes.
Well, I couldn't sleep. It was so noisy that I couldn't sleep. But this ungodly noise coming from this airplane, and I guess they were. It was most likely a bomber. I don't know if it was American bomber or whoever they were,
Germans.
But I know they were chased by the German Messerschmitts. They were, at the time, they were supposed to be the fastest plane mm-hmm. in production.
Wow.
So
you had 13 brothers and sisters.
One more time?
You had 13 brothers and sisters?
Two died
from...
Well, yeah, that's true. A couple of them died of hunger at a very young age. And, well, naturally, we were young, too.
Do you remember what you guys would eat when you were younger? I remember one story you told me about where one day you guys had a new puppy, and then the next day you guys had a really good dinner meal.
Oh, I think you're talking about a story for my father, who was captured by the Russians, and he was taken to Siberia.
Whoa!
And I guess they had like several people to certain rooms or areas. I really didn't know how it was in Siberia, and also thank God I've never been there.
Vodka's great, though.
But anyway, one night when it was his turn to cook, that's the dog story I think you're talking about. They were eating away this very delicious meal that had meat in it, and they haven't had any meat in heaven only knows when. And they just kept saying, "Andras, where did you get the meat? This is absolutely delicious." And And they keep talking, and maybe later on in the evening, somebody said, "Hey, what is our little dog?"
Oh man!
And so that's the meat that they had.
Well, because everyone was so poor back then.
But this is not it is not. This is a story that is true. With my father, he was captured by the Russian. He learned a Russian language. He was a perfect Russian. In generally speaking,
how did he get home? How did he come back?
Did he come back from Siberia?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they let them go after so many years. I think he was there for 5 years.
Wow. This is while you were born or before you were born?
That's before I was born. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, this is what he told us. But I don't remember much of his coming back, or I guess I was just too tiny. But this is the story that he gave us concerning the puppy.
Good puppy.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yep.
Looking at the list here, what you've said, for us to kind of go over.
So do you remember any of the games that you played when you were younger, as far as like with your siblings?
Well, being from center of Europe, you play soccer in your dream, you play soccer in the morning, you play soccer until the sun goes down, especially summertime.
Yeah.
And when you're that age, of course, you don't pay any attention to the temperature outside, the temperature inside. You just come home, take a drink of water, eat a piece of bread if there was some, and then you were gone again playing soccer. So, that was one of the biggest games. Naturally, we had a lot of other games that was a little bit more dangerous too, but.
Like trying what? To swim across the Danube.
Yeah, we used to do that a lot. I mean, for that I have to be a little bit older, maybe like about 13-ish.
Yeah.
So, I'll drink to that.
Enjoy. Cheers. Fudge fudge. So, can you tell us a little bit about the invasion of the Russians and that whole revolution that you had to go through? I mean, that's extreme. I mean, you're 13, 14 years old. You have a gun. You're shooting off Russians. I mean, I don't know anybody at all that's ever gone through that type of situation before. So,
well, as we all know from history, naturally, the Russian, it wasn't really an invasion of Russia because what happened, like I say, we all know what happened in World War II. So what happened that the United States came to help Russia to put down Germany. Mm. And when that happened and when the World War was over, like 45, 46-ish, early part of 46-ish, the Russians just kind of nonchalantly, through agreement of we never even knew of what agreement, whose agreement it was, just that they just kind of stayed over. They definitely way before stayed out, they're welcome, but that was besides the point because they were the rulers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they kind of stayed over and
just kind of wreaked havoc on the, and just kind of took advantage of the Hungarian people, or?
Oh, I'm absolutely sure. Yeah. Absolutely sure. I mean, they would by two or three, like patrols, go around constantly and looking into houses and stuff like that. And I never forget some of the things that they have done. And some is a little funny and some is a little sad. because the Russian culture at that time was very, very premature. Mm-hmm. And needless to say that Hungary really wasn't all that modern, mm-hmm. but yet when they would come into the houses and they'd see like a soap that smelled good, they started to eat it.
Oh wow!
Kind of stuff. And
wait, you mean
it's kind of unbelievable, but you know some of those guys were, I mean, very, very young.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were from farmland in Russia.
Uh-huh.
And the thing of it is that farmland in Russia is not like farmland. I mean, you know, you may go hours and hours and hours to even see a building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's farmland in Russia because the place is that big.
Yeah.
And some things I know that sounds even funny, but they try to wash the fish in the toilet.
Oh, because they didn't realize.
And they accidentally hit the flusher, and the fish went down. They just shoot the toilet to pieces because
they're frustrated too. They're
because like, yeah, but I mean this is really, really. I'm looking at 19. By this time, it was about 40, end of 46, beginning of 47.
Yeah.
And like I say, a lot of them haven't really gotten around to lot of parts of Hungary from which they could have learned more. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, I'm sure they did learn plenty. But these are stories that I've never seen them, but these are stories that I've been told. And there's a lot more that is even worse than that. And
well, didn't you get captured at one point by the Russians and they put you in a execution style like lineup with a bunch of people, and then right before they started shooting, you just fell to the ground and just waited, you know, after they like stopped shooting.
Oh yeah,
and just
that so many
there.
Times, so many times.
I mean, that's brilliant, first of all, like to
first
even
survival,
think
yeah.
about that, just
instinctually,
but,
just.
Yeah.
I know. It's what happens is that when emergency situation comes, especially when you're young, you're extremely brilliant and quick
Coach,
thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I hope that remains with me in my older days. But I know that it's not that simple. Because yes, I have been in where there was like about 45 or maybe 50 of us, and we were standing in a bunch, and I wasn't, I think maybe I was afraid to look or whatever, but all of a sudden I heard the machine guns behind us, and I just hit the ground like, oh my heavens. And fortunately I stayed alive, but a lot of people around me have been killed. Some of them were able to kind of run away, and some of them were cut down as they were running, but some of them did get away. I just lay there and acted like I was dead, and then I started to get brave, I guess, when I was starting to look around, open my eyes, and I saw them get back into their vehicle and just drive away. But so many things like that is not a pretty thing. It's not it's scary. And every time I get a chance, I say to my Heavenly Father, thank you.
I notice how your just the way that you act towards life and the way that you're always just excited to be alive. You just have a certain type of appreciation towards life that I feel like a lot of people don't, because they have never been put in that type of situation. I feel like a lot of people in America feel entitled to be special, but, and they're on like certain types of drugs, you know, Ritalin and these antidepressants and things like that, where it's just like, you're alive. There's really no reason for you to be
unhappy,
depressed. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we're human. We have our emotions. But for them to allow that, for you to allow your emotions to basically take control of how you are and who you are and how you feel and how you act, I just feel like that's, we're missing that appreciation. And I feel like you being in the type of life-threatening situations that you've been in, your appreciation towards life is way
a little different.
Way different. And but anyway,
how old were you when you got brought to the United States from the Red Cross?
When I came to the United States?
Here.
I guess I was about 17, 18.
What were some of the biggest culture shocks that you have experienced, and or even at that time experienced, coming from Hungary into the United States?
Well, there was, of course, many. And I think that the most exciting was, which is just about a span of about 2 weeks, we got out of Hungary around the 7th or 8th. I mean, we got out of Budapest, and then we went home.
By the Red Cross. They or how did you get to America?
We got through with an airplane through Red Cross.
They just rescued you because the way the situation was out there?
Oh, absolutely. They had our names and preference of where we wanted to go. And our original... we're going back and forth with the story here, but we have to put in the empty areas.
We'll fill it
because
in.
Because we were going to be, the four of us were going to be jazz musicians in Hungary, because my brother George, bless his heart, he was just such a fantastic thinker, and he had such a great mind, because he always said that there's been a lot of stories about jazz bands that were brother fours and four brothers, but they're never really truly four brothers. Well, in our situation, it would have been Charlie, George, me, and Mike. That's the honest to goodness four brothers. Unfortunately, my little brother, Mike, didn't really want to practice all the times that we were practicing. And my brother George was our drummer, but he decided that he's going to go and play the saxophone. I already played the trumpet. My older brother played the bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Or the dun 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 dun. But anyway,
bass.
I guess it's called a bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and I played the trumpet. My older brother Charlie played the bass guitar. And George, who was our drummer, he actually changed and he went from drumming to saxophone, because he had a better hearing and like he's my little brother. So he made my little brother be the drummer. And I don't know if you felt...
the youngest sometimes you just kind of get kicked around.
I don't know whether he didn't like the idea or what, but I know that he would always find something to do other than practice. So unfortunately that didn't turn out so good. But going back to your question of coming to America.
Yeah.
And I think we left Budapest around the 7th or the 8th, and then we kind of got together with a group of people. 16 of us left Budapest, and I think 9 of us made it to Austria, which is Hungary's neighbor country. Yeah. And we have what we were going to do, according to my older brother. He was like a genius. Of course, I guess I was a little too young to know the difference, mm-hmm. whether he was stupid or not. But we always looked up to him because mm-hmm. just as
he always had a plan.
He seemed to know what is coming and what we need to do. And so we were going to go into the mountains and Hungarian mountains and become
lumberjacks?
like a gorilla fighters,
okay,
so to speak. And we did a wonderful job. We hit a lot of small Russian groups. And since we were up on the mountain, we just turned their truck on fire and rolled it down the, you know. We did this several times. Like I say, we stayed there. We ran into this as we were hiking through the mountain. We ran over this empty school, I guess that's what it was. But after we stayed there for a few days and had a few encounters with smaller Russian groups, I got some clothes, I got some jackets and shirt and pants. I had a boot that was about 4 times the size of my foot.
But you still wore them.
But it was warm. You yeah. got it, baby. And my brother George, he was just an amazing person. He told us because we tried to figure out how we can turn on some heat or whatever, and because we could do a little bit of fire occasionally for either warmth or just warm up some water and clean up or things like that. But he said that we could not have any fire on for any certain
length of time because you didn't want more to
than
find
more
it.
Than we needed to have, and we also had to be very, very careful with the location because we can't kid ourselves. So those guys find out where we are, well,
yeah.
a couple of bombs and you're gone. So this is probably the reason why he said that after we stayed there for a few days, he said that we do have to move on. And it's amazing because we heard noises once we got a little higher up into the mountain, it was snow. Deep
else.
Snow. And the noises we heard seemed like was coming from either a person was shot or maybe an animal was shot.
Uh-huh.
But we trailed a blood track for a while. I don't quite remember what happened to it. We didn't see anything or anybody, so we just tried to mind our own business. So I think that was one of the scariest times in my life because we traveled probably maybe 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
And we got pretty close to the top of the mountain. We started to come down, and we ran into this mining little Hungarian town, and we took their truck.
Oh, you're like, we're sick of walking.
Hot wire.
We took their truck. Well, we told them that now that we got your truck, we need a driver. Okay. We didn't know how to drive. I was a punk kid. George was just a couple of years older, so we didn't know how to drive. So we took their driver, too.
Like,
amazing. Just amazing. It's a long story. It really is a long story.
Yeah.
Because there is some really interesting stuff right at this time, but I don't really want to go into it because it's a long story. But anyway, after a day or so, we spent at this place, and the Russians came. Somebody either called them or whatever. So we had to run into the grapevines and hide out. And I think the Russians were pretty smart not to come and chase us because yeah. This is the true guerrilla fight, you know, especially at night. So then we traveled with the truck, and after a while we had to leave the truck because it was just inconvenient. Some of the towns we were going through, a lot of Russians, a lot of Hungarian soldiers, so we traveled to this one area, and I think we stayed in the truck until that night, and then when it got dark, we just continued on foot.
Yeah, good call.
And for the rest of my life, I think that is going to be the scariest time in my life.
Yeah.
It was so dark.
Oof.
I mean, so dark. You could not see your hand just 8 to 10 inches away from your face. That's how dark it was. And actually, what we did was we'd just go from tree to tree, so to speak.
Yeah.
And off the distance, you could hear the Russians speaking the Russian language and dogs barking and stuff like that. So this forest was very interesting, yeah. I tell you.
Ooh. Had a lot of activity going on in there, huh?
Pardon me?
Had a lot of activity in there. If you can't see anything, but you can still hear
all
the other stuff around you.
It most likely couldn't have been more than maybe like...
it was a courtyard. It wasn't even a forest.
Less than a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
It had to be. But then, you know, at night, your voice really carries mm-hmm. also when there is nothing picking it up or blocking it.
Yeah.
But I remember we were told that we crisscrossed the Hungarian and Austrian border at least 2 or 3 times because we didn't know
where you were going. Yeah.
And finally, we find this farmhouse. And as a matter of fact, it was lucky because one of the girls was shot and she couldn't have gone too much further than that. By this time, we were down to about 10, I think.
Oh, wow. From the 16 that you started
and
with?
And it was really amazing because this one Italian guy said, I'm not going any further. He got so upset. I have never seen anybody upset like that. He took his rifle, threw it in the bush, and went back. For the life of me. For $100 million, I would have never gone back knowing what I just came through the forest.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I was so scared, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But he went back. So we continued on and went to the farmhouse mm-hmm. and we stayed there. And this is, again, a cute little story with the staying at the house, you know. And so... The next day, we got out of the house and we continued on. They told us which way to go to go to Austria. And I guess the same day, like in the afternoonish,
mm-hmm.
and we ran into the Hungarian border patrol.
Oh, that's lucky.
It was really funny. This is a kind of a interesting part too, but I'm going to say this because it's a good happening.
Yeah.
As we were going diagonally,
remember,
this is a big, big territory.
Yeah.
And we're going. Here we are lined up. But over here, there is a road like
remember,
that.
Remember, Dad, the people in the podcast
can see this.
No.
Well, that's their, that's their problem.
We'll Instagram it.
But anyway, on this here, you have trees. And every once in a while, my brother George is up front. And as dusk is getting a little bit lighter and lighter and lighter as we're going, I noticed that these two trees move at the same time to the next tree.
Because they weren't trees.
And I checked this out a couple of times, and when I see, I know that the trees ain't gonna move, so I knew it was two people.
Yeah.
So I take my machine gun and I hit the guy ahead of me. And this guy ahead of me was from the same place we were from, Hungary.
Oh, okay.
So he was one of our neighbors. Buddies.
Yeah.
But I guess he froze. I hit him. I said, hey, tell George there's something on the left, you know, over here. Well, George is in the line. This is where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said to him, tell George there's something on the left. And I'm getting, you know, do it. Because he's not doing it.
Yeah.
So evidently he froze. And so I said, well, the only thing I can do is I pulled up my machine gun and I stepped out of the line like that. And I said, if these guys say anything, I just have to cut them down. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But my brother George, that guy is so amazing every time I think about him. When these guys approached him, he says, hi, buddy, you want to go with me? Or you want to go with us? This guy had no idea that there was something coming in. And these border patrols were... you know, the regular police cap-like, but around here, it was green.
Okay.
And that's what designated them to be the border guys, because if they were blue, then they were the government people.
Okay.
The communist, Russian, you know, even though they might have been Hungarian, but still. And my brother George says, hi, buddy, you want to go with us? And the guy said, well, no, we can't. And he's got his gun right here. And he said, well, no, we can't go with you. But you guys go ahead, you know. And they were just as scared as we were.
Yeah.
Or I don't even know who was more scared, you know.
Yeah. Check the pants.
But they did tell us that after we leave, in about 5 or 10 minutes, let's shoot up a few in the air so they can tell their supervisor that there was a confrontation, you know.
Oh, nice.
So
we like worked out a deal.
So some of the guys that never shot a gun were very, very happy that they were
shooting.
They were shooting their guns, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember, anyway. That's.
So then you got to the Austrian border, and then Red Cross took you to America, basically. Or?
No. When we, it's slowly but surely. That's the conclusion. But we got to the Austrian border house.
Yeah.
And here we are inside. It's nice and warm because, you know, this is now into November.
Yeah.
And you know when winter comes in Europe, it gets damn serious.
Yeah, it doesn't play around.
So here we are inside, nice, you know. I'm taking my grenade apart, put the things aside, you know. We're taking our guns apart and stuff like that. And finally, one of the Austrian guys see this. He said, "What are you guys doing?" He said, "Get the hell out of here!"
Like, oh, we thought we
take that thing outside.
Cleaning my toys.
So it was really funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, and we stayed in Austria for almost a year.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
And then went to America. So when you did get to America, where did they shit you out? Like, were you in New York?
When I get to where?
When you got to America, where did they leave you? In New York or Florida?
Yeah, we arrived in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was an army base that happened to be closed, and naturally it was empty, and it was just an ideal place for us. Because there was a lot of us, you know.
Yeah.
And once again, my brother got a band for himself, and he was playing. He was playing the bass. Guy was extremely. This is the time of Bill Haley.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not 57 is, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. And did you ever know Bill Haley?
Not personally.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. Not personally, but... But I saw him in Austria, and then I came over here, and I saw him here.
That's cool.
I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
The first rock and rollist, Bill Haley.
So then from New Jersey, you guys started, or didn't someone adopt you? Or, like, didn't you have a foster family at one point? Something like that? A family took you in?
My older brother, Charlie, had gotten to the country of America in December.
So he got out here before...
Yeah, the same year.
Oh, okay.
We stayed... I mean, I had a wonderful time. Yeah. I just had an act... Because my German came back just like that. See, my mom and dad, when the Russians came into Hungary, my mom and dad went to Germany to keep from getting caught by the Russians. Mm-hmm. They never knew that, of course, nobody knew, that America was going to come and help the right. Russians. So they escaped from Hungary to Germany, to Krimichau and Koblenz. Those were the names of the towns
okay.
that we lived in Germany. And no one knew that the situation is going to be the same.
Right,
yeah.
So.
You leave hoping it's going to be better and it's...
But when you're just a couple of years old and very, very young, you pick up a language just like that.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And I did. Besides, I was so linguistic anyway. I always loved languages.
Yeah.
At that time, I didn't know the difference anyhow. But when we got to Austria years later, the revolution time, mm-hmm. this is 1956. And towards the end of 1956, when we finally got to Austria. But, my German... In just 3-4 months, I was translating mm-hmm. the Hungarian guys to the German people.
That's super impressive.
Because that's how fast it came back. And that's how much I learned when I was in Germany. And so the language came in very, very handy because now I'm not even 10 years of age yet. I'm speaking 3 languages.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke Russian, I spoke our own, and then I spoke German.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, I was on top of the world, not even knowing that I was there.
So what did you think of America when you got here?
Good question. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I can tell. That's why you didn't stay too long.
Well, it you know, when you hear so many good things about something
yeah.
and you're a kind of a child and because even though I was not young, I was old for a child, but nevertheless, automobiles as they were, people as they were, I mean, you could buy a candy bar for a 5 cent piece, things like that, although we didn't have any money in those days yet. But Charlie was the only one who had a job, so he was naturally working. And then Mike and George got a job, and I got stuck at home cooking.
Oh,
that sounds
you got
terrible.
The housework.
I was lucky. I used to make some really delicious things out of nothing. I mean, and then sometimes they say, "Oh, well, what we got for dinner tonight?" And I remember, I would take hot dog, slice them up in little pieces, and I would chop up maybe an onion or two, and maybe some tomatoes, and I cook them all together, and then I cook a bunch of rice, and
garlic.
And boy, I tell you, those guys were just going crazy. Wow, you're a good cook. I didn't even know what I was doing.
Yeah.
but we lived like that, I think, for a few months. Mm-hmm. You know, then I got a job. I got a job in a day nursery. Well, I immediately signed up at the church. For the English language, mm-hmm. immediately.
Yeah.
I knew, I don't know how, I really wasn't a smart person, but I knew almost immediately that I had to learn the language.
Yeah.
And because of the refugee situation, there were a lot of volunteer people at churches and schools and stuff like that, to help people out with the language. And that was the first thing I did. I went to school to learn the language. And I think I was doing this for about a month. And I met this woman. Trying to think how I met this woman, but I have no idea. But anyway, she... They told me she was German. So I started to talk to her in German. And she says, "Well, can you repair toys and things like that? Can you do that?" And I was very handy already, you know. And while I was in Hungary and doing my wrestling and doing work, I also had a technical school experience for 1 year.
Okay.
See, when you're working on engineering in Hungary, it's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
You have 3 days of shop where you manufacture things, you learn about all the manufacturing, and you got 3 days school. You have math, physics, and all the crap that you need to have. So
they make sure you get enough time.
Even though I only had that in Hungary for 1 year, I was a better engineer than a lot of the engineers were.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I had a good feeling of how to fix things and stuff like that. And I forget her name now. But anyway, she told me that where she teaches, they're looking for a person who can repair toys for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yeah, I'd like to go and talk to them." And, of course, they couldn't talk too much to me because I didn't speak English, but I spoke German. So we spoke German. I spoke German to her, and she would tell them.
And she translated.
So it was just perfect. They hired me. I mean, peanuts. I practically had to pay them. But anyway, now I started to, you know, get with the program. My brother Charlie, he was working. He was this far from being a doctor in Hungary, but for some reason he had things that he needed to do, plus the revolution.
Like the Russians.
So he definitely was a laboratory technician.
Oh, wow.
Where he was incredible with math. I learned a lot of my math from him, too. Incredible with math, incredible with physics, incredible with chemicals, because that, you know, now that was his profession. So he was working at the hospital, And I was working at this place. None of us stayed around there too much longer, but I don't remember a lot of things at this particular point. Mm-hmm. I know that one of the guys, because Charlie would have me come in, I would work at the children's place to fix the toys, and then Charlie would have me come in for a day or two. So, you know, little by little.
Yeah.
And I remember this one guy named Ted Mitchell. Wow. He had a 56 Chevy convertible.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what a machine that was. And we used to always go around, and we had so much fun. Ted was just an awesome person. He was a little older than, you know, but he was just an awesome person. And I remember he would, when I would not understand something or whatever have you, you know, he'd say, well, look it up. And I would look up, and he would just die laughing. So, if you guys coming to the end, we can do it another time, continuation.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely continue the story, because this is...
How much did we spend? An hour?
Yeah.
Have we been here an hour?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
It goes fast, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Especially time flies when you don't have fun.
When you're flapping your gums.
No, he's freezing.
No, I'm good.
Oh, are you comfortable?
Yeah, you guys don't.
Okay. I'm good.
Oh, absolutely! I can't express my.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of really awesome stories.
I appreciate.
So thank you so much.
I appreciate this opportunity, and like I said, we can continue another time.
And and you know, if you think about stuff when you're at home, you know, maybe write it down as far as stories go.
Well, maybe I don't really have to get so detailish either.
No, details are good. We like details.
But okay. But I'll tell you what.
That makes a good story.
If I get some help to do my book that I already wrote, this is gonna be my next.
No, you have a crazy. But and that's where you want to go in more detail with your stories is in the book. Get all the nitty gritty, the fighting. Yeah. And the...
You guys know any publishers? You want to finish this?
Oh yeah, we can. Basically,
say goodnight.
Yeah, so let's just say to be continued.
Yeah, thanks again, Andy, for coming
you,
on.
Yeah, thank you, Apuka. Dad, before you leave, you must say to everybody something in Hungarian.
Oh, mi szeretnétek hallani.
Into the microphone.
That was... That was... What would you like to hear? I mean, I could tell you anything. You'd never know the difference.
Tell us your mom looks like a goat.
Huh?
Say your mom looks like my favorite goat.
I can't make out what you're saying.
Your mom looks like my favorite goat.
Your favorite goat?
Uh-huh. All right, that's fine. But
okay, I can say something in Hungarian, but when you said say something in Hungarian, right away I said, what would you like to hear? But I said it in Hungarian, not thinking
work.
Anyway, so if I say it again, what would you like to hear? Once again, what would you like to hear? Jó éjszakát kívánok mindenkinek, és még ezt megcsináljuk megint as a continuation.
That was
Jó éjszakát.
That was English. All right, very good,
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Man, I didn't even realize my ears are warm now.
And thanks everybody for tuning in.
Yes, we love your ears, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Ba-ba-boo.
This has been another fine production of the 4i Radio Network. For more great shows, check out www.4iradio.com.